week on Potlatch, the second half of an interview with Brenda Itaw in Barrel. In June, Brenda Itaw and I both flew to Barrel to attend the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. In this conference, Inuit, or Eskimo peoples from around the world, celebrated their being Inuit. I wondered if this celebration meant the rejection of other peoples, so I asked Brenda.
Isn't it a very narrow tightrope that one walks to celebrate one's ethnic background without feeling or expressing hatred or indifference to other ethnic backgrounds?
What we're talking about right now, to me, is a very complicated and a very sensitive issue when it concerns tribes and races and all the hurts and things that come with it. And yet, we have to live with each other. You know, we can't get away from human beings, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from. You know, we have no choice but to live with each other. And I myself have experienced just what you're talking about, because I understand what these people are doing, my own people, the Inupiat people. For so long, they have felt, and I think with the black people too, they have felt a certain kind of suppression, and they've had a certain feeling of being put down by superiors who are of other tribes. See, I don't think any tribe likes to be conquered by another tribe. Each tribe likes to rule their own affairs, and that's pretty human. I think every human being has that tendency to want to be its own ruler. That's how people are. And it's distressing to see one minority group say that we are this and you are not. I don't think that's the right approach to take. I think it's okay to, you know, to have your own identity, but it's at the same time it's hard. Like you were saying, we're walking in a real tight rope. And there is no other answer to this except to say that Jesus Christ is the mediator of God, between God and man. And to me, I have met many races, I have met many tribes, and whenever I find a person who has Jesus Christ in their life, right away we have something in common, other than our races. See, to me that's the only answer for peace between races, peace between nations, peace between people. No matter who they are, is to have Jesus Christ. He's the common denominator for people of all races. It's very simple, you know. I don't know how many people accept that, because it was so simple for me when it happened, because I thought of it to be so complicated, but then in reality it's just so simple. And I've experienced it myself, and this is the only answer that I have come up with the past 12 years of my searching. Is that answer that I just gave you about Jesus Christ being the peacemaker between people.
How do you deal with the fact that the person you believe in was a human person who historically happened to be white and happened to be Jewish?
See, as I said earlier, I had to get over the obstacle that Christianity was just for the white people, when I discovered that Jesus Christ came, was God. See, God is Trinity. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Ghost, that Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the Son of God, the Father, came down in the form of man. And when he became the form of man, see, what he was doing there was relating to mankind, see, because we're so different from the ways of God, see. We're far from being perfect as God is perfect. we see as human beings that we're failures, but Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for us, he related to every pain, to every suffering that we encounter being here on earth. And when we talk about common problems of any race, usually that problem is being experienced in another country by another kind of people, other races. So although we come from different nations and although we have different color of our skin, basically as human beings we're pretty much the same. When we get over this race bit, you know, and dig deep down in there, there's really nothing different between you and me, see. And that's how I believe God sees us, see, because God made every race. God made everything. He created the heavens and the earth and all the things that dwell in it. And we dwell in the earth, and he made us. And if God chose the Jewish people, who are, by the way, brown skin, a little bit darker than the white people, that was God's business to choose the Jewish people for his son Jesus, the creator of everything anyway in the beginning. It doesn't really bother me that the savior of mankind came through the Jewish people and extended into what is called the Gentiles. Gentiles meaning people other than the Jewish people. And the heathen, by the way, see, the heathen people are non-believers. See, I used to think that heathen people were the savages and the uncivilized tribes, such as the Eskimos, you know, I've been told. But it's not really, I'm not a heathen. See, heathens are people who are unbelievers, whether they be white. Whites can be heathen. Negroes can be heathen if they don't believe in God. That's the real interpretation of heathen.
If you run across somebody that is a heathen, and I don't know whether you want to make converts or not, mm-hmm. but if you want to share that, your way of life with somebody else, how can you communicate that without saying, look, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm good, and you're bad?
See, I believe the sort of thing that happened, the attitude that the missionaries had to the Aboriginal people in America, still exists today in our churches. It really hasn't changed that much. And I don't want to put people down or judge them, but I have observed that when people don't spend time on their knees before God and live according to the Word of God as Christians, they tend to form their own little opinions and their own little pet doctrines, see, which conflict most of the time with other Christians. See, it causes, whenever we don't really abide in the will of God and live the way that we should, we have a tendency to form our own little groups or our own little world, and we tend to separate ourselves from other people, and then what comes with that is a self-righteousness attitude and an attitude that I'm holier than thou. You know, we stop relating to people as brothers and sisters in Christ when we form our own little theories. And those theories, the Bible says the carnal mind is an enmity to the Holy Spirit. It's an enmity against God, our own mind, see, the mind of the flesh. And that's why we need to seek as diligently as we can what is God's will in our own individual life and live as best as we can a holy life before God and to be at peace with him first. And when we're at peace with God, then peace with brothers and sisters come naturally. I don't know if you understand me, but we need to stay away from, we need to stop looking at denominations and start looking to God. You know, I still have that problem, by the way. You know, I don't mean to say say that I'm any different from anybody, but I do have those problems too. I have a tendency to for self-righteousness, for an attitude that I'm better than they are because I'm a Christian. You know, I think this is a plague that every person has who is a Christian, and we need to keep more humble, you know, before God, to in order to prevent competition between churches and competition between races, and be clothed with the love of God. See, it's a continual working every day. I have to work at it to keep the love of God in me continuously. Otherwise, if I don't, then I slip into this pattern that I abhor. I believe America as a country has enjoyed tremendous wealth. And I know, according to the Word of God, that God is the creator of all things, which means that He is the owner of all the wealth that we're enjoying, all the riches, see. And I believe that when we stop acknowledging where this wealth is coming from, it becomes a very dangerous tool for competition. Money can become very evil if it's not used right by people. That's where the danger comes in. Money can be very a hard thing to use against somebody. It can be used for rivalry and all these things. When it's not used right, it's very dangerous. I heard one of the Canadians address the Circumpolar Conference in Inupiat, which I can understand. I also heard Greenland people, the Eskimo people from Greenland, address themselves in Eskimo, and I understood both of them. And I also heard the address by Evan Hobson, one of our own people here. And it seems like wherever we're at, no matter where we're at in the world, the same kind of thing is happening. You know, we have a lot of wealth, but at the same time, we see these problems of people turning into alcoholics because they have money to buy booze. There's a lot of dope addicts here. There's a lot of drugs coming into my own hometown and into the villages. And it's not like it used to be. You know, we can't always dwell in the past. I will agree with you that the Inupiat people here in my area have one beautiful thing, one beautiful characteristic that we still have, I believe, and that's of sharing. Sharing whatever food we have to people who are in need, people who are hungry. I think the Eskimos have set a very good example that others should follow in sharing their food. I know when I had the opportunity to travel to about 67 villages in 1967 and 1968 when I worked for Senator Ernest Greening out of Washington, D.C. And when I traveled to these villages, there were times when I was just filled with love for the people. Especially one family at Anaktobik Pass. I stayed with them, and they said they welcomed me with such warmth and with such love, you know. And by the standards of the Western society, they would have been called poverty, deep poverty. They lived in a one-room house. They had, I believe, five children, and they didn't have any electricity. There's no running water. No flush toilets, but their personalities were filled with laughter, with joy, with a certain kind of freedom that I didn't see in Washington, D.C. And these were the qualities by which I judged their state, not by the material judging, but by the inner qualities they seemed to display. And what really captured me was, see, they had only one pancake left in the house, one pancake. And the mother came to me and said, "We don't have much to offer you, but, you know, you can have what we have here." So I accepted that because that was the very best gift that they had to offer me, was their last pancake and a cup of coffee. And when I ate that, bread and drank the coffee with them. I mean, I experienced a joy that I had never experienced, hardly for a long, long time. And see, these are the standards that I believe people in Barrow are very, they want to get them back. You know, no matter how rich we are or how rich people get, we still should have some kind of standards as human beings to abide by. And I thought that was a very beautiful example. And I want to also say that in another village, I visited one family, and the head of the house was there, the man, and his wife was there, and they had many children. I believe their house, again, was very similar to the one at Anaktovik Pass. And the woman came to me in Eskimo. I'm bilingual. I speak the language, and I also speak English. And she said in Eskimo that one thing about their family, they don't take welfare by choice, because her husband is the head of the house, and he's the provider, and he's a very good hunter, and he goes out and hunts for food. And so they served me with what they had, and it was really good food. They served me caribou soup, and I remember they had some crackers, and they got along to the best that they knew how. So on the other side of the drunks, and on the other side of alcoholics, on the other side of people who take taxis because they're too lazy to walk, there's the other side too of the Inupiat people that aren't seen right now. They're probably in the homes, and they're probably caring for people that are in need. You know, the people who do the greatest things are never recognized by world standards. But I want you to know that, because I live here in the village, there are two sides, and I think this applies to just about any city or any village throughout the world.
Noises that you hear in the background are the wind from the Arctic Ocean and some motorcycles, perhaps symbols of both the old and the new here in Barrow. We're standing about 20, 25 feet from the Arctic Ocean, a big, 10-foot high and maybe a couple hundred foot long ice floe in front of us on June 16th. The ice has just moved out, giving us a clear channel, perhaps a couple of miles till we see some more ice. We're looking in the direction of the North Pole, 1,250 miles away, and the ocean is about 25 feet from us. Brenda, we just are finishing up the Nanlukatuk. I have in my hand a piece of whale kidney. Could you tell us a little bit about how Nalukituk symbolizes the values of sharing that we were talking about?
Well, first of all, you know, there's always a lot of talk about being environmentalist throughout America. It seems to be a real big issue. And usage of our whales and our fish and our caribou, and the fact that you have been eating part of a whale, the whale kidney, in fact, you're eating it right now. See, this symbolizes that we're always very careful about not wasting any food when we partake of things like that. And today, Nalukituk means the celebration of the killing of whales. And this year, Barrow was very fortunate to have gotten 18 whales, and today we're celebrating the fact that we had a good season. And when we have Nalukituk, the people here are able to express their gratitude to the Lord for supplying us with food, and that acknowledgement was given at the beginning of Blanket Toss, as you noticed. And the people serving it are symbolizes the fact that we share food with everybody. You notice that no one was missed out with the food, and there was plenty at hand. And the whaling crews consider it a real privilege to share. And sharing of our food is one of the main characteristics of the Eskimo Inupiat people of the Arctic.
It's somewhat reminds me, at least, of the Christian idea of breaking of bread and then sharing it.
Mm-hmm, right. Some people call it a picnic, too.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're very fortunate to have so many visitors. I noticed people from Wainwright, Alaska, people from Point Hope, Alaska, are here, and I know some from other villages, surrounding villages, Nuiqsut and Atkasuk people are here, and we're able to share the abundance of food with them. They came especially for this festival, and they'll be taking back a big supply of meat and food that they'll need back there in the villages. And also, we also have people from Canada and from Greenland, and I noticed that they're really enjoying themselves.
And how about from Sami land?
From Sami land also. And also, we have some state representatives here. Representative Clark Greening from Anchorage and Representative Thelma Buchholz of Anchorage are both here, so we are able to share our food with them as well.
It's time to open your eyes, take a look outside and all around, to north, from south, and up and down. The weather is right, the time is here, there'll never be a better year for brotherhood to take its root, to bloom, it blossom, and sprout its shoot. Open, open up your eyes, it's time to find the place to hold, to find the place to plant your row, where the seeds of love can grow and grow. Your heart's the perfect spot, you know. It's time to clean your garden plot of sticks and stones and leather old rock. Time to plant a brand new world where promises keep and paths unfurl. To young and old, to boy and girl, to rich and poor, to woman and man, to black and white and gold and tan, to big and little and fast and slow. See how brotherhood can grow. Let the sun shine in your face to everyone of every race.
At Anaktovik Pass, at the time in 1967 and 1968, it was subsistence living, living off the land and living off the rivers for fish. So theirs is a subsistence economy, whereas in Washington, D.C., it's cash economy. So it's a different kind of giving that they do, see. In Anaktovik Pass, it's more visible because the village is very small. And at Washington, D.C., there's a lot of people there. So it's a drastic comparison. And in Washington, D.C., they share differently, you know, and it's mainly through paper. Like there's a lot of people who give charitable contributions to people that are needy. people that are sick. You know, it's a form of sharing. It's a form of giving. Just like the people at Anakali Pass, they gave to me what they had last. In Washington, D.C., I did not see it, but I'm pretty sure that there are people who share their food with the poor and the needy. I didn't experience it myself there because I was not in a position to do that sort of thing. I worked in a congressional office, and with the people that I knew there, they shared what they had by giving charitable contributions. And I'm not looking down on that, but when they do that, they miss the personal touch. Many times government programs are that way too. You know, they're all good, they give and they help, but it's very impersonal. There's a lot of paperwork involved. In a way, and the people who administer them miss out on the beauty of giving. See, the beauty of giving is to see the other person receiving it, how much it enhances their personal integrity, how much it builds them up as a person.
I'm wondering if the Eskimo people can keep their value of sharing with all of their wealth coming to them.
What I'm seeing right here is that when people are poor and are needy, even myself, I can be poor and needy in certain areas of my own life. You know, and when I see myself wanting or lacking in an area, I search that much harder for something. And it led me to God when I was poor and needy. It led me to cry out for help from God. I think that's a basic human, you know, tendency to do. And as one gets richer and healthier, there's a certain, you know, dependency on self, dependency on riches, instead of depending on God. And when we don't depend on God, then greed comes in, and all these things that come with riches creep in, and they control the person or the group if they're not careful. I believe that being rich can be a very good thing if it's used right.
Do you think it will be used right here in Barrow and in the rest of the Arctic Slope region?
That's something that that I need to evaluate more before I can answer it. Right now, I know that the past few years we've had a tremendous struggle in going into another way of life. See, as Inupiat Eskimos, we've always depended on the land and on the ocean for survival, you know, subsistence economy. And now we've transferred over to a cash economy, so our leaders have had to change their priorities to conform them to the Western way of life. And so that process has taken a long time, 4 or 5 years now. It's taken that long to come up with some leaders of our own people that can, you know, lead us in the right track in using our wealth and using our economy the way that it should be, to help those in need, to help, you know, our community be a better community, instead of you know, doing it the way most cities have, where they, you know, they've abused it. So it's very hard for me to say if it's bad or if it's good right now, considering in answering that, I'll have to consider the change of life that has come upon the people here because of the regional corporations and because of the borough. All these things are very new. So, and there's bound to be mistakes made also. There's bound to be failures as well as successes in any kind of business. And right now, I think we're just passing the organizational stages. So very hard to predict if it's going to go right or wrong. I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping that all this wealth that we're enjoying will be used, you know, and not abused.
Brenda Itta in Barrow. We remind our listeners that we'd like to hear from you to find out what we're doing and what we should be doing, whether we're doing meeting the needs of our listeners, whether we're addressing the issues that Native people want us to address. You can write to KUAC in Fairbanks. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening. Ah, 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 yeah, yeah, ah, ah, ah. Potlatch is produced in the studio of KUAC. Funds for this program came in part from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Yeah.